Hi, let's go.
Let's take a look at our weather forecast today.
Today's forecast, a lot of sunshine, blue skies, marine clouds. Just a perfect day to go outside and relax. That's your forecast. We'll be right back.
Yeah, sunny day, sunny day, sunny days. No clouds in the sky, but to get away. Feels like it's been a freaking decade. Sorry, don't call me, because I'm gonna be on break. Sunny day, sunny day, make way. All the stress and doubt.
Well, hello out there in the 1-2 world. I'm so happy that you're here. See, I started off with I swear to God, before I got on the air, I could actually say a sentence without stumbling over it. It was pretty amazing. I mean, seriously, even Jay and Raven, they were like, wow, you can actually talk without stumbling over your words. And I was like, yeah, I can. And then I'm on the air and it all fell apart. But hi, this is Oliver here on 1-2 Radio, and you have tuned in to Oliver. And this is a 2-hour special because I get to play with my favorite friend on here, Raven. And we are obviously about to polish and get ready that UFO that's out there in the backyard where Raven lives, and we are going to take a trip out to outer space, and we're going to see if we can get some things done and maybe dive a little bit deeper into what UFO is a little bit about. And if you are in doubt whether Raven is here or not, she's the one who's about to kill her own keyboard. So just you know that for a keyboard, I mean, seriously, it's probably, I don't know, is there a humane society for keyboards? Because it needs one. So anyway, I just want to let you know that before we get started, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I'm always grateful, I know Raven is too, that you guys are here so we can play, we can have a good time, and we can learn some new things and laugh and just get together as a community. Also, remember, over on Facebook, we do have our chat room. Go to 12radio.com. Up in the left-hand corner, there's a button that says chat. It'll take you to the chat room over on Facebook where we're all chatting, and you can make it a more of an interactive experience if you go over there. And I believe you need to get in, but Jay, he is right there. He told me tonight he's got his pants on, so he's ready to let you in. I will just let you know that up and running right now are the weekly top-ups and the weekly love squeezes. And top-ups every Monday and love squeezes, they are every Friday, and you'll find them over on YouTube under Wellness Beyond Intuition. If you haven't been over there yet and checked them out, please do. They're not very long. There's just a little top up. It's a little sort of, you know, lift me up for the week or for the weekend. And when you're over there, you're watching them, please like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell, because that I would really appreciate. I will absolutely, at one point here very soon, I will post a link in the chat room so you can check it out there. And also remember, I'm over 1-2 Listen every day, taking your calls, because I love to chat with you guys. But enough about me. Now we're going to have to talk a little bit to Raven, because I want to know how her keyboard is doing, because I hear it screaming. It's like why are you hurting me so much, Raven? Are you there, Raven?
I'm here. Hi, Oliver. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel so sorry for your keyboard.
Was it that loud?
No.
Sorry. I have to pound on it because it's been jumped on so many times from the cat. So you get up on my bookcase, and every day I'm yelling at them for doing this, and they jump down and they jump right on this keyboard, and they've got it so bad that it's the screen's about ready to go out. So I see everything in purple, kind of a purple, pink, and green with striations, and they sometimes will like flicker. And it looks kind of like a barcode. If you can imagine a barcode across your entire screen of your computer with pink and green in the background, strobing at you, that's what I have for a computer right now.
I love it. Not, I mean, but that's sad. I mean, literally, that's all right.
And it's from them jumping on it. You know,
well, we need to have a talk with your cats. Because
I know they've killed three laptops already. Three.
They should definitely be in prison. Seriously, cat prison. Cat prison. They should be cat prison.
If there was such a thing.
we
cats have no remorse. That word does not exist in their world. They're never sorry for anything.
No, it's not like dogs. They're like, it's not me. It was the, but then again, dogs are, I mean, they, I don't know if they have remorse, but you know.
You can shame a dog, but you cannot shame a cat. The cat will just hiss at you and run away, or, you know, call you an asshole. Yeah.
Something to that degree will definitely use big words, and you go, okay, great. Yeah, I will. I'll take that. I guess I have to. So, but anyway, how are you doing? We have such an interesting show today. It's 2 hours. I get to play with you for 2 hours.
Yes, yay! my favorite Capricorn friend.
Yeah, we get to do this, and I think we are a little bit prepared, aren't we? We might just be a little bit prepared. I like that. We might be just a little bit prepared. All the listeners are going to be, oh, the gay. Oh, great. That's going to be great. Just a little bit prepared.
Well, I love the synchronicity of it all. That's what was really wild.
Okay. All right. So before we get started. No, you need to tell them this, because you're the one who's got that all patent, or you not patent, but you know the whole story, and it has to do with the lunar eclipse. But you need to please enlighten us with your wisdom about all of this, because I find it so fascinating. We talked about it last night. So is there any way you can just dive and talk a little bit about all of this?
Because absolutely. I think that
people need to know.
And the synchronicity for the whole concept to do the show was really wild, because we had talked about combining our shows together again sometime in the future and doing another show. And so I was sitting here thinking about it, and there's been a painting that just haunts me. It's haunted me since I was in grade school. I went to a Catholic grade school, and that's when I first saw this painting. And then later it was featured in an episode of Ancient Aliens. I'm going to post it to the chat room right now so everyone can look at this. And so I had that in the back of my mind for doing a show sometime in the future about UFOs pictured in religious art. So then I get on, and I'm texting with Oliver back and forth. And I said, you know, you want to do a show, you know, sometime in March, blah, 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 blah. And since it's coming up on Good Friday this Friday with the crucifixion and all, I had that in the back of my mind. And he said something like, you know, what do you want to do it on? And before I got it all typed out, he says to me, types to me, UFOs in the art or something. How did you say that?
No, I was actually thinking about the exact same paintings that you were talking about.
Yes, that's what it was, yes. And I was like, oh my God. Okay, so synchronicity there, that's an omen. We have to do this. So
absolutely.
Let me get this picture here to the chat room for everyone to look at. And there's just, I don't know what else that this painting could even be. Other than what it is, you know.
By the way, the reason for very, very old aliens is because Ancient Aliens was taken. It's not you and I. Well, we are maybe very, very old aliens. Who knows? You know, but that's the reason for very, very.
Yes, I'm trying to multitask here and get this thing.
Let me keep talking about very, very old aliens. I mean, I'm sure those aliens by now, seeing us down here on Earth, that had aged them very much. So they're probably going, they can't wait to get off this planet. If they can't get off this planet, they probably got arthritis and amnesia and dementia. Who knows what else they've got? You know, maybe they need some new fake teeth. I don't know.
Okay, there we go. Now I got it successfully posted. Technology. I'm not even going to.
There it is.
Yeah, and,
that's the crucifixion. That's the crucifixion.
Yeah, this one here was painted in 1350, and it's currently at I got to say this. Okay, give me a minute to figure out. Vyskoky Dečani Monastery. It's a 14th century monastery that's really cool. It's a Serbian Orthodox Christian, and it's in Kosovo. And this hangs above the altar in that monastery.
Yeah.
And try as I might to track down who painted it, I can't find who painted it.
I looked it up too, and it didn't give a name who actually painted that painting. But what is interesting is that the two, what looks like two unidentified flying objects up there in the left and the right hand corner, supposed to represent the sun and the moon. But if you look at it, and if you take a really good look at it, they look like spaceships.
It does not look like the sun and the moon, and there's even people in the spaceships. So, I mean, that's some art historian trying to deny what our eyes are looking at. I hate it when they do that, you know? Just don't believe your lying eyes. Oh, that's the sun and the moon. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, you know how it goes, you know, like they do have to come up with something, right? So, yeah.
Anything other than what it is, you know, this ridiculousness about the hush hush and all this crap of the UFOs everything being suppressed is ridiculous.
No, but that goes with just about everything that sort of come to light. I mean, listen about like Area 51 when that UFO came flying in and suddenly it was a weather balloon. I mean, and then we have to believe that it's a weather balloon, you know.
And don't forget about swamp gas. Sometimes they would write them off as swamp gas.
Oh, that too. Yes.
Project
yes,
Blue Book.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, I'm probably gonna make a lot of people a little bit angry here when I talk about the moon landing. You know, because I have my doubts. Because when I see what they actually went to the moon in, I'm like,
we haven't been there
since the '60s, and our technology has gotten just a little bit better. But oh no, Nixon, he took a dial telephone, you know, one of those good old telephones with the dial on it, and he called them up there in space and said, "So, hi guys, how are you doing up there?" You
know? Well, somehow they managed to get rocks back. I've never doubted that we went, but what I heard, and a very popular theory about all of that, is that they redid the video footage of it, and they redid that out in Sedona.
That's what I heard too. That's what
and
I heard too. That they actually.
Go ahead.
No, I heard that too, that they read it because they did go, but they read it the whole video and they did an enactment of what it is that they basically saw up there or what they experienced. But yeah, go ahead.
Right. And the reason for that is because they weren't able to scrub out some of the inexplicable objects that appear in that footage. There are some buildings, some glass buildings. I guess you can see on the horizon, there are also some ETs there. And what I find really wild about this whole moon thing is this piece of jewelry that my listeners have heard me preach about this many times. There's a piece of jewelry that those astronauts took with them that was custom made, and it was a fig branch, and it was made out of 24 karat gold. And I think it had some pearls on it, but I can't remember if there were pearls or not, but it was 24 karat, which was really nice. And they took that with them. Now, the olive branch represents peace, you know, and so it would have been, who are they, why are they taking that with them to go to the moon? Obviously, they had to have some kind of knowledge that somebody was up there, and then, you know, here's a gift. I mean, why else? I mean, isn't that just kind of strange?
Well, it is strange, you know. I also heard they was sort of like gently Well, they were also sort of like gently being told to leave because of other presence up there. They weren't allowed to be there. So they were told to just get the hell out of there. You know, the dark side of the moon, as they talk about.
Yeah.
There's lots going on there as well, you know. But we don't really know. I mean, apparently it seems like we're on our way there again. It seems like the space station is supposed to be like a middle hub between that and the moon, and then the moon and Mars, I suppose. I don't know. It seems like that's the way that it's all going, but we'll see if we're more welcome this time.
Something else that has always bothered me is watching the footage of those astronauts after they came back home, after they went to their debrief and all that sort of stuff, and they walk out, and the expression and the somberness of their emotions, they were just like, they were like shell-shocked. They looked like they were in like, here at the country is celebrating, you know, there was all that fanfare and parade and confetti and everybody's all happy and oh yay, you know, we made it to the moon. And these guys look like their dog just got hit by a car, you know. Mm-hmm. They just are so just long-faced and down and no enthusiasm, no energy, no celebration, no, I'm so happy to be back on the ground again, or nothing. They're just...
Well, I still have a very healthy dose of skepticism whether they win or not, because with the technology they had back in the 60s, I don't know. And we haven't been there since, which leaves itself a lot of questioning. And, you know, but who knows? Did you ever watch the movie Contact with Jodie Foster?
Yes.
Which is a very interesting movie. And it turns out that when she finally went to outer space, it turns out she actually never left the planet.
Oh, that's right.
But her experience was that she was in outer space, that she was on a different planet.
That's so wild. I mean, we just don't know. We just don't know. And anymore, see, it's getting harder and harder.
But that is exactly it. We just don't know. And they're so very good at covering everything up and actually confusing the whole picture. And then in this day and age with AI, they can replicate everything and make it look real, you know, and people buy it, because AI is so new, people haven't quite understood what it's all about just yet. Even though they do have some technology out there that now can actually detect whether it's real or AI, but it's so new right now, and God only knows where they're going to take that in the future. You know, we living in such a simulation, you know, of life, where everything seems to be, you know, happening in front of us, and we finally, for once in life, have to ask ourselves, is this really just an illusion?
Yeah, they can create anything with that. It's just really muddied the waters as far as being able to determine what's fake and what's real. Mm-hmm. I know there's certain specialists that can look at film footage to see if it's been edited or if it's been stopped and started again and all that. But to the common folk like you and me that are out there, I couldn't tell. Intuition is the only thing you've got to go on. You know,
and that's something we use a lot over here.
Yeah.
That said, you know, the exciting part for today before we continue all this, oh my God, I am so discombobulated tonight because I was so excited to talk about all these topics. So I feel sort of like, I'm asking you, do you feel grounded? I mean, I'm talking to Raven. Do you feel grounded, Raven?
I never feel grounded before a show. No matter what. I've even got my little Newmark things in my pocket.
I had to make coffee just to get my feet at least a little bit down to earth, you know. I even lost my, my train of thought here, what it was that I was going to say, because it was kind of pertained to what it was, what we were talking about, but out the window that one went, hey, and it's going really well already.
It's okay. It's all right. Breathe. Just breathe.
Oh, now I know I was going to say that, because the exciting part is that I'm not always live, but I'm alive. I'm alive. Yes, I have a pulse today. I'm live tonight and I'm here with you. So I get a chance to say hi to everybody who's in the chat room. Would you join me in doing that?
Oh, yes, let's do that.
Yeah. I was about to say, then we can get that over with. You know, we don't have to say hi to them again. Just kidding. I'm just so kidding. Sorry.
I'm refreshing the page here. Facebook is not my friend.
Oh, Facebook is a Zuckerberg experience in patience. So I want to say, first of all, hi to Renee. Renee is here. Obviously, you sit there with the alien. Of course, you had to post aliens. And so did Pamela. More aliens. Hi, Pamela. And Terry is here. Hi, Terry. And Cindy is here, and Shadow Wand's son. Yes, Cindy Beck is here. Mm-hmm. And there's a dude called Oliver Guttorm. He's got some videos apparently over on YouTube. I don't know who he is, but his name is Oliver. He posts videos. So hi, Oliver. Nice. Thank you for making it. That's really nice. We will certainly go and check out those videos. takes a little seriously. Don't you find it obnoxious that he's sitting here in the chat room and he's promoting his own videos over on YouTube? Seriously. All right.
Well, nothing wrong with a little self-promotion.
Well, it's okay, Oliver, this one time, but don't make a habit of it, because then you're going to kick out of the chat room. Jay will actually do that. And oh my God, we got this beautiful woman called Raven. Yeah, she posted a painting of Jesus Christ being crucified. So we all know where that's going tonight. So there you go. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for
thanks for being here, everyone.
Yes. So
yeah, that very first painting, that's the one that's haunted me. That was even showed that on, there was a show that we used to be called In Search Of. And yep. Leonard Nimoy, who played Spock, of course, in Star Trek, used mm-hmm. to be the narrator.
Yeah.
And that painting right there probably launched my whole lifelong fascination and study into this topic.
Oh my God, I was like really young when I must have been, God, in my like preteens, like maybe 11, 12, something like that, when I saw a program on TV about that, where they were talking about UFOs. And I remember sitting with my brother and his girlfriend, we were watching it together, you know, and we were talking about, because I was so fascinated. I was like, what? It was like the first time I think I ever heard of it, like to that degree. And then I was like, are they here? I remember my brother and his girlfriend said, yeah, we believe they're here. Of course they're here. Of course there are of course there are aliens in the universe. It's so big, it's so vast. And back then, of course, I had no clue how big the universe really is and how many galaxies we got out there, how many solar systems. And I mean, the whole idea that we are alone would be
ridiculous.
Well, it's the height of arrogance to sit and think that we are alone. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm sure we are an interesting species that they're sort of watching for, and sort of like, I am certain that is some kind of a soap for them to sit there and watch us, you know, like it's like, oh, what happened today on planet Earth?
What a drama.
Yeah, what a drama, seriously.
Or comedy, depending. Yeah, you got it all. Actually.
We got it all. Seriously, we got everything here. You know, I don't know how to keep up with 8 billion characters, but I mean, you know.
It's mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling, yeah. So of course we are, but that's sort of my intro to it. And then I got really interested in it and started reading a lot about on it. And I was, of course, I went to watch Encounters of Third Degree by Steven Spielberg. I went to see that movie and I totally got
Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yeah, Encounters of the Third
yes.
Kind. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I did too. I loved that movie. I saw it. I can't count how many times I begged to.
Yeah.
I even bought the album. I used to listen to the music.
Oh yeah, I remember my cousin. She introduced me to the War of the Worlds. No, the old one, the musical, right? With was it Richard Burton? Who was it who narrated it? It was just
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles narrated? Mm-hmm. Okay, but I mean, it was creepy as I don't know. It was just and then I, of course, I read the some British sci-fi books. There was one called, was it like the Blue Mountains or the White Mountains or something like that. It was also very interesting. And then, of course, the shows. I used to love because we didn't get that many episodes in Denmark of Star Trek, but we did get the two full seasons of Space 1999. So that was one of my favorite to watch back when I was a kid. So I really got into that. And then when I lived in Israel, my friend Jennifer, she had this book about Billy Myers, the guy in Switzerland.
Yes. Yeah.
And she said, I have this book, you know, I don't know what it is, I haven't read it. I said, oh, give it to me. And I read it. And he's the one who claimed that he had a really close contact with extraterrestrials.
Palladians.
And what was, yeah. And I was like, wow, this is so interesting. And so, yeah, I've been totally diving into all of this. And then, of course, Eric Van Daniken, I read The Chariot of the Gods.
Oh, my God, yes.
I totally swallowed up Zachariah Sitchin's, you know, The 12th Planet, which I just thought was so interesting as well. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's sort of my, you know, and then I still love sci-fi. I just, that's just my go-to, you know, I love great sci-fi.
My grandma got me into the sci-fi, and yeah. and she bought Eric Von Däniken's book.
Yeah.
You know, Chariot of the Gods.
Yeah.
And at the time, there were so many words in there that I was just learning to read at that point in time. And so, and grandma used to read to us. I would spend my weekends at my grandparents' house every weekend. And yeah. I would, instead of a bedtime story, you know, like a typical one, I wanted her to read to me from Chariot of the Gods, and she did. Wow, so those are my bedtime stories. Talk about a weird kid, right?
No, that's awesome. Seriously. Oh my God. I wish that, that's amazing. That's just amazing.
In fact, I can't remember a time I didn't believe in aliens. And that just seemed like the most reasonable, logical conclusion when you look up at the night sky. And if you can get out away from the city and really see the sky with no light interference, and it's so vast.
It's and beautiful.
Yes, I know. And then all those images that have come from the James Webb, thing, the pictures. What do they call that thing? Oh my gosh, I can't believe I can't think of the word. Telescope. No, not yep. telescope. Satellite that's uh-huh. out there taking those pictures. And each one of those things that looks like a star is like another sun that has planets around it. So you take that and you've got to multiply that by, let's see what we've got, 9, 10 in ours.
Yeah.
Planets we got now? See, they demoted Pluto and then they brought Pluto back, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, 9, 10, whatever. But it's a lot.
I feel so sorry for Pluto.
Math was never my forte.
I feel so sorry for Pluto, What am I today? Pluto needs to be in therapy because it must be sort of like split personality. I don't know whether I'm a planet or I'm just a dwarf planet or what I am. I'm just a rock. I don't know anymore. Well, how do you feel about that, Pluto? Well, I don't know. My mom says that I'm a planet and my daddy left me when I was 3. And
poor Pluto.
I know, seriously. You know, I had an interesting, because now we're talking about the night sky and the vast night sky, So what I love is when I was in Ontario and I would go out with my friend Howard sailing on Georgian Bay on the weekends, and we would take the boat out and just drop anchor right around all the small islands up there, and we would stay there over the weekend. And there was absolutely no interference of any kind of light whatsoever. So you can imagine the night sky then, right? That was a blanket of stars, and I would always sleep on top of the boat every night in a sleeping bag and just look at the stars and fall asleep under the stars. But that was the first time I actually, through a pair of binoculars, saw our neighboring galaxy Andromeda. And when Howard, he told me that's Andromeda, our neighboring galaxy, I was like, as you can see it from here, I mean, mind you, it's a tiny little gas, whatever, but yeah, it's there. So I saw it. I was blown away. I could not believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's also one of the places where I have had personally a UFO sighting. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what was that like for you? Was it your first one?
Well, it was, no, I'm sure I've seen them before, but I saw one in the Negev Desert, or going to the Dead Sea. No, not the Dead Sea, to go to a lot when I lived in Israel, when we were going through the desert, I saw one. But this one was so funny because we were out by one of our favorite spots on Georgian Bay where we drop anchor, and it was sort of around, it was either before or right after, no, it was just before dinner time, so around 6:30 when we have dinner, and suddenly I was looking up in the sky, and this silver object was just hovering far, it was far up, it was just hovering, like seriously, and I was like, what the hell is this? I asked Howard, we were just staring at it, and suddenly it just literally disappeared like a flash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which brings me to something that you touched upon quite a bit, is that you believe that if we have to go searching for UFOs and aliens, we should probably start checking out lakes and oceans.
Oh, yeah. And think about it. It's a perfect place to hide. If those things can withstand the pressure of space, they can certainly withstand the pressure of the ocean. And so many UFOs have been seen going down into the ocean or coming up out of the ocean. Yeah. That's a perfect hiding place. Well, supposedly there's one in the Baltic Sea. They've got pictures of it that's sunk down in there. And it sure looks like one. But it doesn't look like a natural rock formation, but you know, until we pull it up out of there, you can't really say if it's a UFO or not. But there's either some kind of craft or some kind of building that they have photographed down there.
Well, remember, there's so many places they can hide down there, because in reality, I think it's only, isn't it only about 10% of the oceans that we actually have explored? I mean,
yes,
it's vast. We have no clue what's down there.
No, we don't.
No clue.
And some things are pretty scary looking. Those squid freaked me out. Squid absolutely freaked me out, man.
Well, and then of course, we also know that the Megalodon is still down there somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Talk about aliens. Well, look at the octopus. The thing's got not only 8 legs, but it's got 8 little brains. And the way that it can, the things that that creature can do are just amazing. So there's your aliens right there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. No, I find it so fascinating because we're so gung-ho about going out to outer space when we have a whole ocean we haven't even explored yet.
Right. I've heard the science say that they know more about outer space right now than they do the ocean.
Oh, I totally believe that, which is kind of a pity, because every single day we hear more and more about how old structures are being found below the ocean, you know, whole cities, you know, and it's every day they find it and then it comes to the surface, so to speak, or well, they come up to the surface and talk about, hey, we just found a city.
Yes. Yeah, they used to think that the city of Dwarka was just a myth, and that's Krishna was, that was his city in India around Sri Lanka or something like that. And right before that tsunami hit, the ocean got sucked out so far that they were able to see the ruins. And oh my God, that wasn't a myth. That's a real place. This is history.
Oh, wow. You know? Yeah. Oh my God. That's quite phenomenal, actually. It's a crazy world we live in, and still we're here and we're still loving it, but the ocean should, so I think that the oceans should absolutely be explored, you know, but my whole philosophy is about going out to outer space and start exploring all these planets. It's sort of the same way that humanity were and how we were sort of created here on planet Earth, you know, we started one place and then we started exploring different continents and different countries, and we started traveling all over, and which is why that got discovered. And so on a grander scale right now that we have discovered the world, you know, now we're going outward to discover planets, because we're probably going to inhabit all these planets around us, you know. So
I think most of them are inhabited, but they're under the surface.
Yeah, that's under the surface. Exactly. You know,
there is one unexplored place here on this planet, and that is Antarctica. They're not telling us what the hell's going on down there.
You're not even allowed to get close to it.
I know.
Like, seriously, you'll be turned away if you, well, you'd probably be shut down if you even get close to it, you know? So, yeah, Antarctica, yeah, that's another place, you know, it'd be interesting to know what's really going on there and what they've got there. That's the hidden Earth hole, or the hollow Earth.
Yeah, could be. I've heard that. I've also heard about a pyramid. It opens up into, and see, there are caverns there under the ice, under 2 miles of ice that are really warm. You can wear a short sleeve shirt. And there's things growing down there, and there's lakes and there's fresh rivers, and it's 2 miles under that ice. I did a show in Antarctica, and I was blown away by what we do know about it.
And just look at some of the caves that you find out far east. Like, I think it's Vietnam. There's one that they discovered when you go down deep inside. There's a whole vegetation system down there.
Yes,
a whole forest almost. Yeah,
there are. I mean, there's a breakaway civilization that lives down there, and they broke away before Atlantis sunk. And they're called the Anshar. Now, I can't prove any of this. This is just what, you know, what some whistleblower from the secret space program was talking about. Corey Good.
See, this is where my curiosity really kicks in, and where my travel where my travel bug comes in, because I really want to go to these places. I actually want to see it. You know,
I do too.
I can't just sit here and talk about it. I mean, it's just like, it's like,
I want to see it. I want to prove it.
Bring me there.
Like Shambhala, or Shambhala supposedly went underground before a cataclysm. And that's like another breakaway civilization that's, they stay down there because this just too unpredictable up here. But they have a light source. They can grow food. There's like cities down there, they say. And that's an interesting thought, you know. And then there's, you know, was it Jules Verne wrote, who wrote the book about Journey to the Center of the Earth? Was that Jules Verne?
Jules Verne, yeah.
Yeah. I remember they made a movie of that, and I remember watching that one.
Oh, I remember totally... the old one. I also remember the new ones, you know.
Yeah.
With Brendan Fraser. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much out there that we don't know, and seriously, it's not explored, and we can just sit here to a certain degree and guess, and then just become really convinced in our beliefs. I guess that's how it works to a certain degree. There's plenty of people out there that will talk about it. I mean, you mentioned David Wilcox here the other day quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's certainly somebody who has seems to have channeled a lot of that stuff. And there are plenty more out there who have gone really deep, you know. But I certainly believe that if all of this, you know, let's just, I say if, but you and I just talked about that we're pretty convinced there are aliens out there. I have no doubt that you can actually contact them. I mean, Dr. Stephen Greer, he has these programs, mm-hmm. where he takes people into the desert, contacts them, you know. He's got a whole meditation system where he's doing it. So I actually saw him back in Toronto in 2004, I think it was. I was there on a lecture. I saw him at a lecture there. It was very, that was one of the first time I got across Dr. Stephen Greer and what he had to talk about, and got his book, Forbidden Knowledge, Hidden Secrets, or something like that. It was a very good book, actually. I really enjoyed reading it. So,
I know the name of that book and I can't think of it all of a sudden.
Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Stephen Greer, one of his many. And then he's, of course, done quite a few documentaries around the whole topic since then.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me about him is that there's a photograph of him and that Linda Moulton Howe, both at the Rockefeller Ranch. And they have their picture taken with them. And I'm like, wait a minute. What are they doing being associated with this? So that right there kind of flared up some mistrust.
Oh, I don't blame you. And there is something about him when you look at him and you go, you know, it's like,
yeah. And I think it's very irresponsible of him to tell everybody that all those aliens are good. They all have our best interests at heart, because that is simply not true. In this dimension, good and evil permeate everything. And they're not all good, and they're not all bad either, because you'll get some from the other side to say, oh, they're all bad. They're all bad. They're not.
They're not.
People, you know.
Exactly.
Good eggs and some bad eggs. But we've got.
But I would say, you know, for the most part, you know, I think that if they were really. I don't know. You know, you never know, right? You know, but I really believe there are actually good. Some good ones out there, you know, and then people, they talk about how come they don't interfere with our way of living. Well, why would they? I mean, why should they? I mean,
they have interfered. They have taken those nukes and deactivated them in our silos.
Okay.
And then we have went to do some testing. They have deactivated them.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Out of the sky. Yeah.
See, I did not know.
And if no other reason, and see these. Maybe they're not from other planet. They could be from other dimensions right here on planet Earth.
Well that is highly possible.
You know?
Oh my God. And well, but
the nukes that destroy and disturb all the other dimensions.
Yeah.
And we set those things off. So it's like, oh no, the kids found the matches. We better get down there. Because all the sightings of UFOs really had an uptick after we did the testing at White Sands. Instead of we detonated the first one that Oppenheimer, you know, did. Well, from then on, we have had an uptick in sightings, and they've been watching this pretty closely.
Yeah, well, you know, it would be nice if they actually could come in and just, you know, can we just live on a peaceful planet now? Could we just get
Oh,
rid of all
please.
the
Yeah, I
craziness?
know. I
Seriously.
know. This is,
It's
yeah.
like every day. I've turned it, like we talked about that last night, you and I, we don't watch the news. We turned it off. So,
It's enough to make you crazy. And it's not even.
which I can highly recommend everyone does, you know, do not watch the news, especially the legacy media and mainstream news. Don't watch
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's the most of that is BS. That's a narrative. We do not have freedom of the press. It has all been compromised at this point.
Well, it has. I
And
mean,
your
well, see,
independent.
I mean, anybody who could, like, logically, right? You know, if like this radio station, my radio show, for instance, if I decided to, to maybe, advertise this advertiser for a new toothpaste came and said, "Can you advertise this new toothpaste?" And I said, "Sure, I can," and they spent, $500,000, I wish, on my radio show for this new toothpaste, and then I figure out that it actually causes cavities and it's not very good for your teeth, and then I sit here and say, "Do you know about that new toothpaste that I've been advertising about? You know, it actually causes cavities. It's not very good. What do you think that advertiser would do? He'd probably pull his
Sue
500
you,
half mil or he'd pull
get
his
your
half
money
million
back at the
dollars.
very least.
Money back, right?
Probably
So
put you on a hit list and.
yeah, so they would probably say that we'll give you $500,000 if you tell our toothpaste it's the best ever out there, you know, and it's so good for you. It'll give you really, really white teeth. They won't fall out, we promise. And
You have somebody on your answering machine named Guido looking for
so it really doesn't take much of a think for yourself when you look at the mainstream news and who they're sponsored by, you know, and who's also the ones who are behind actually giving them money so they can exist, you know, to understand that, well, we might have to take it with a grain of salt, you know, because they're very much dominated by what it is that they're supposed to, what they can and what they cannot report on, right? So,
That and
and
like you were saying earlier about the AI,
yep.
they can generate video footage of a war going on halfway across the world. Most of us would never know the difference.
Well, did you ever watch the movie Whack the Dog?
Yeah, I've heard about it. I have not seen
Well,
it
that's
yet.
exactly. Well, that was before AI, but I mean, it was exactly the same where they actually they faked a war, you know. So, and people believed in it until it was actually discovered that it didn't really happen. But AI, yeah, today is so much. But I really believe that AI is here to stay, and we can't, you can fight as much as you want, but it can also be done, it can also be used for good stuff. It's like everything else that comes out as new technology. You can use it for bad things, you can use it for good things. It's like
Right, just
electricity.
like
I
anything.
was like, I say electricity, you know, you can use it to cook your dinner or you can use it to cook a man, you know, it depends on what it is you want to use
Good
it
point.
for.
Yeah.
So I mean, it depends on where humanity's consciousness is at, and I really believe AI is here to stay, and it probably also has a very good place in our society if it's done the right way and not being misused by people who have their own interests at heart, and which unfortunately a lot of people on this planet they have at this point in time. But only time will tell. We stay grounded and we stay in our meditative state of mind, and then we talk to the aliens, right?
Right, that's right. Save us. Wake me up,
Seriously,
Scotty.
I swear to God, there's no time, and there's no other time but right now where, damn, when you want to be abducted by aliens, you're not being
Yeah.
abducted. I mean, I stand on my rooftop patio every single night going, "I'm here, take me." Hasn't happened yet. To the point where the neighborhood here think I'm crazy. They're like, "Somebody arrest that man. He needs to be locked up."
I still think you'll probably see one go down to the ocean or come up out of the oceans as you're right there.
Well, I am still looking. I mean, see, I go every night to watch the sunset more or less every night because we got beautiful sunsets here, and so I go and check those out. But I have yet to really see any. And but
It'll
I mean,
happen.
it'll
Keep
happen.
looking.
I just need to also just stay close to my rooftop patio and see what's going on up there because that is the perfect spot for an alien to land and say, "Hey, you want to go for a ride?"
Say hell yeah.
I'd be like,
Bring it back. Well, that's what they did with Ezekiel in the Bible. Yeah. They took Ezekiel and then they took him to a place and they told him to start taking measurements.
Of what?
And you'll find all these measurements there.
Of what?
Well, this guy, his last name is Crick, wrote a book about it. Wheels of Ezekiel. And there's dimensions and so forth for a craft and for the thing that it kind of lands in. And two different scientists built little models to scale, to the same scale. I mean, one the like enclosure, the other one the craft.
Yeah.
And they fit together like hand in a glove, just going by those measurements.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
That was featured on Ancient Aliens too.
Okay.
And it's a German engineer, I think his last name is Crick, who wrote the book. Because he at first was he didn't believe Eric Von Daniken, and he would go to a lot of his lectures to heckle him. He'd sit right there in the front row and tell him he was full of crap.
Yeah, unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there, but you know, when you have the guts to actually come out and, you know, say something that is sort of against the norm, there will always be those naysayers, and they will go to great lengths to prove that you're wrong.
Oh, yeah, because it sometimes challenges people's beliefs, and they're like, well, if I entertain the thought of this being different than what I've always thought it was, then how is that going to spill over into other beliefs that I have in my life? And it can be, you know, it's a process, and it's sometimes, you know, very unpleasant.
It totally is. Yes. Yeah. I mean, especially when you start rocking, like, well, that is when people, they are like cognitive dissonance, you know, when people, they
exactly.
really,
yeah.
yeah, when people, they really are, they are, they can't think other than what it is that they believe, and they will not stay away from that belief whatsoever. They don't have an open mind to think that there are actually something different that could go on. And then other than what the propaganda machine is telling you every single day, right? Sorry, did I just say that?
Yeah, it's okay. I stayed away from the whole topic of 9/11 because I thought, if this is true, what these conspiracy theorists are saying, then that just shadows all my faith in my government and in my country.
Yeah.
You know? And I wouldn't touch that topic for the longest time. And then
I got stuck in and
decided to look at the evidence with an open mind. And then it was like, I was really depressed. I mean, for 3 days, I think I stayed in my bathrobe and I just kind of, you know, was like, yeah, I had to chew on that for a little bit and come to terms with stuff. So I understand it's not for the lighthearted.
No, it's not for the lighthearted, but I also believe that, you know, there's a lot of waking up right now going on, you know, I don't know to which degree, you know, and people will definitely defend their beliefs until the cow. I mean, I might defend my beliefs too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the funny part is that I used to come from a different point of view to this point of view because I decided to have an open mind. I mean, even I actually sat down and had an open, you may laugh, but I sat down. I had a really good open mind around the flat earth theory. And I wanted to hear what people who actually believe that the earth is flat, what they have to say. And I gotta say, some of the points that they are making,
I agree,
absolutely make sense.
Yep, I totally agree. I researched that for a show years back for Strange Phenomena and Mysteries when that show used to be on. And I found myself, I'm like, now I know for a fact that this is not, but this actually, they have a point here on this top, you know. Yeah, I went through, and the guy that has founded that theory had like a 9-part video series. And I sat there and watched each one of them with the open mind, like you said. And there were some things in there that made sense, but overall, look, I've been in an airplane. I've seen the curvature of the earth. I know it's round. I'm like, well, it would be so easy to dispel this. I mean, has this guy never been in an airplane before? You know, you can see the curvature of the earth, and everything else in the whole solar system is round. This would be the only thing that would be flat if that were true. And that's
exactly
the odds of that. Everything's in a circular. So yeah.
No, exactly. But I mean, I was just mentioning it as an example of trying to keep an open mind
Yeah.
and listening, because sometimes, you know, like it's amazing what you learn when you do keep an open mind with those people that are deemed crazy right off the bat. But if you actually listen to what they say, you know, then but that's where free will and free thinking comes in, where you can make your own conclusion and say, listen, you know, I've listened to enough of this. It doesn't make sense now. If I have to weigh it against each other, I can't see that being true. So that's a different story. But before, but it seems like in this day and age, we are being conditioned to not think for ourselves and
Yes.
questioning things. God forbid you should question anything other than the narrative, or you're ostracized completely and right away. But I
And
think it's
now more
helped,
than
but it,
ever.
yeah, now more than ever, with all the censorship that's going on across the different platforms online and also the media, Canada is one of the worst right now with the censorship, with a new bill that's just been passed. So they really dictate what you're allowed to hear and what you're not allowed to hear. So it's and also, of course, under the guise of protection and keeping the peace,
Oh,
which I
yeah.
don't
The
really.
government cares so much about you. Yeah,
No,
right.
but I think it's sad that there's not enough. I think it's sad there's not enough faith in humanity that, you know, you can make up your own mind that we are obviously have to be completely protected from anything that's going on out there. We might believe it and cause havoc. I think it's sad, and I will always encourage people to read up. Don't believe what I believe. Don't, please do
Yeah.
not believe what I
Do your
believe.
own research. Have
Do
an
your own
open
research and
mind.
make
Do
up
your
your
own
own
research.
mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And make up your own
Yeah.
mind. You might be surprised, or you may not. Maybe you end up going, I was right all the time. That's good too. But by all means, do your own research and make up your own mind. I do a lot of research every single day. I dive deep into a lot of topics that I want to know about. And God only knows right now. It's so easy to do that because of everything that's online until they start shutting it down. But it's easy at the moment. So anything you want to do research on, you can do that so easily, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can draw your own conclusions, which I think is the healthy way of living.
I do too. I really do.
Yeah. So this is, so yeah, so I think that's important. If I can encourage everybody out there, because we are just about to end my show early there, but we're going to continue because Raven, first of all, we're going to take a short break, but Raven, she's going to go out and catch some rabbits first, but then she's going to come back. If I can encourage anybody out there, do your own research really, and then draw your own conclusion. Just don't listen and take in everything that's being said. If it doesn't resonate with you, do your own research. If it resonates
Yeah.
with you, fine. But if it doesn't resonate with you, dig a little deeper. There's nothing wrong with that. And you might be surprised what it is that comes up.
Indeed. Well said. Well said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back with Raven's Rabbit Hole for part two of
The,
ancient.
oh,
We can't say ancient English because it's a very, very, very old
old
alien.
aliens.
We only got through one
Picture.
painting.
Painting.
So we got some more of those to show you too in part two.
Awesome.
Sunny day, make way. All the stress and doubt, yeah, not today.